coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. For the first time in 19 months, Michael, my friend, is Masters Week. Sounds so great to say, indeed. Very excited to have the major back. We're at Augusta. What to watch for, podcast exclusive picks, storylines, all that good stuff surrounding Masters Week and recapping Houston as well. What we're tuned into with a quick Bachelorette update, a little bit of news that went on in the world as well this past week that we'll touch on. We also got some holiday vibes coming your way and a quick thought on the madness of everything going on in the world. This week's guest, though, is a radio host and advocate for the military and the veterans specifically. Her name is Elizabeth Diane Martin. She actually went to the Masters in 2019. She talks about what she does with the VGA for veteran golfers as well. Really cool conversation coming your way. And we finish with football and part two of our Thanksgiving menus, hashtag always end with food. All of it is brought to you by our friends at Active Body. I talk about it all the time here on the Course of Life. Our promo code is COL for 20% off the Active 5, activebody.com. Again, it's the easiest way to work out really quickly for just a few minutes a day, a quick way to stretch your muscles in the right way to get you flexed, stretched, and in shape the way you need to be. Again, it's activebody.com. The Active 5, if you want 20% off, our promo code is COL.
Hello, friends, and welcome to The Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network, proudly presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Groovit Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex, and Alex, we've made it to Augusta.
We've arrived around Amen Corner now. I can see the vibes. I can feel them right now eroding through my body. It's amazing that it is November. We have changing leaves, fall, crisp air, and Masters vibes from Augusta National. This is truly a once-in-a-lifetime experience for golf fans, and I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to hear those tones from Jim Nantz as well, too. It's a great feeling. Yeah, well,
we will certainly talk about the Masters in a little bit. Let's first talk about what happened this past weekend, which was, of course, the Vivint Houston Open, and it was a warm-up to get us there into Augusta, and we had a new winner on tour.
Shout out to Carlos Ortiz for staring down DJ, who's playing well, and Brooks Koepka. They both finished in the top 10, but Hideki was in the mix as well, too. Dustin Johnson was kind of slightly in the driver's seat at one point in the back nine, but faltered a little bit down the stretch. Ortiz took advantage with a fantastic finish on the last few holes, and the Mexican gets a really important win for his career.
And let's also just go ahead and say that Carlos Ortiz gets to have the asterisk of winning the week before the Masters, but doesn't get to go to that Masters because, of course, this is the 2020 field. It was set back in April. So instead, he'll get to play in 5 months in the next Masters. But still, he gets to punch his ticket to Augusta as well.
Odd scenario, indeed. We'll look forward to seeing him at Augusta National in years to come. And definitely a good win for him. The course was interesting, Mike, because it was actually a municipal golf course that they were playing on, Memorial Park. For the PGA Tour. They don't do this very often, and it was good to see them out there on the venue. The venue really held up nicely. There were birdies when they needed to be, but it was a tough track overall and a successful Houston Open. The thing that you and I were curious about last week was the first mainland US PGA Tour event where there were actual fans out on the course. They made their return in Houston. I don't know if you got to see anything from broadcast or just even snapshots on Twitter that I retweeted. Crowd seemed pretty modest. Lots of masks, not a ton of distance, but an interesting first week to see fans back in golf.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that you can social distance out in the golf course, but not when you all want to be around the same green.
Yes, there is a confined area with the greens and the tees. And it's almost as if, like, you wish, you know, people could use the 500 yards of a par five to spread out between the tee box and the landing zone and the layup spot and the, you know, front view to the green and the back view of the green. But alas, there were definitely some pretty tight knit crowds. We saw those in college football as well. That's a whole other story. But
yeah, we'll get to that.
Fans returning in Houston. We're not going to see any at the Masters this week. they're going to play around with that. I'm not sure if they have it in the forecast for any events coming up in the immediate future, but the commissioner did say, Jay Monahan, this is a bit of a testing ground. So we're going to see how things went, kind of get the reconnaissance from the Houston Open team, see how it worked logistically, getting 2,000 fans in each day, and go from there and see what the plan is for fans on tour in 2021.
And I like that they're not really saying they're going to do like fans this week and fans the next week and fans the next week. They're going to give themselves time to learn from the experience and see what worked and what didn't, and then roll it out and try it again. Instead of just putting people in the seats every week.
Exactly.
So that was the warm up, at least on this side of the pond. Meanwhile, over there in Europe, they were playing. And are we doing Euro Tour travel search again like we started last week?
Yeah, they were. So guess what? For everyone who missed it last week, hopefully you tuned in this week, because they, shout out to the European Tour, they just played two tournaments in a row at the exact same course in Cyprus. Yeah. They're just hanging around.
I'll Google Cyprus again, because that was cool.
This is just an extended vacation, I guess, for the entire European Tour. They get to spend 2 weeks out there. You know what I mean? Like that's a nice life if you can get it. And we had a cool first time winner as well. A guy who has been floating around the European Tour and is a new golfer on the scene. A lefty named Bob, of all things. Real name is Robert McIntyre, but it was great to see Lefty Bob, I call him, get his first win on the European Tour. He's a young kid that's got the making of a star in the game, and I think we're going to start to see him at more regular mainland PGA Tour events and majors in the years to come. So look out for Lefty Bob. He got his debut win in Cyprus.
I'm just not used to hearing about a golfer named Bob, so that's just kind of cool.
It is awkward, because like you think Bob, you usually think of a man who is like at least 55 years of age or older, maybe.
Yeah.
And this is like a 23-24-year-old kid out getting it done, like with a cool smile and everything like that. So it doesn't quite fit the mold of Bob, but it's just too easy. He's Lefty Bob to me, and I hope he is to everyone else out there too.
All right, let's get into what everyone really came here for, and that is the Masters and everything going on at Augusta National. It's November, like we said, as you can all tell if you just look at your calendar, which means it's going to be very different, not the first of which is that there will be no fans at Augusta. So we get two things we'll probably not see again. I don't know if we'll see fans of the Masters coming up next year in April. Mm-hmm. But of course, we're going to see Augusta in autumn. We're going to have the color of the leaves instead of the bright color of the flowers. What do you think? Look at the pictures coming out of Augusta. How excited are you about how different this is going to be?
Oh God, check our Instagram at COL Podcast, and I'm at Course of Life Alex. You're at MWRINC, because we've been posting them. I'm seeing the changing leaves with the caddies in the white uniforms walking through the forests of Augusta. It's absolutely serene, and it's a magical sight, Mike, indeed. And on top of that too, everything you mentioned with the lack of fanfare, however, ESPN bringing College Game Day this Saturday to Augusta. That actually is going to happen. They talked about that a couple months ago, and we spoke about it when it was teased in the summer. That's actually going to be a really cool introduction to Saturday morning at Augusta as well, too. So it's going to be very interesting, because you know, you see most of the course as is, and Augusta does a really good job of showing off the greenness of the grass and how beautiful the landscape is, even with fans there. Now with no fans, it's going to take on a whole different element, and the falling leaves, it's going to be quite a vibe.
I mean, what do you think is going to be more, special is not the right word, but in terms of different or just stick out to you more, but this is going to be a Masters in the fall with that different look to the course, or the fact that we're going to get to Amen Corner and there's going to be no giant gallery behind the tee box, that there's going to be no one there at 18 surrounding the green on Sunday. I mean, what's going to stick out to you more, do you think?
It's going to be the spots, those notable spots on the course where you see the crowd, because the Augusta crowd, remember, no phones at the Masters. Everyone's watching old school leaderboards. They've positioned their chairs there for hours before the players even tee off. This is the truest, like most genuine old school way to conduct a golf tournament that is still done in 2020. Mm-hmm. So we're actually kind of really like peeling the layer back without fans now. It's just golf itself. You know, you're used to guys walking off 11 and to the par 3 12th with the water in front, Mike, and you see the gallery greet them. The par 3 16th, that's a notable gallery behind the green and on the tee box as well too. So those junctions are going to look very, very different. But that sereneness, the peacefulness, this quiet birds chirping, that vibe, I think will just soak through even harder. So while we're going to miss those like applause points in the round, we're going to get a lot more really, really cool shots with the emptiness of the venue.
Let's talk about also the potential for weather from Tropical Storm Eta.
Yeah, geez.
Yeah. So
not ideal.
No, and it looks like it should be okay. I think we'll
you think
be okay.
So? I know you're in Georgia, so you're always getting some sort of clipping of all these storms that come through the Gulf area, but it looks like it's kind of scattered earlier in the week, Thursday or Friday. Could be a threat, but later towards the weekend might not be as bad.
You look at the track of Eta right now, and Eta is kind of drunk out there in the Gulf, so who really knows what Eta is going to do? It'll decide when it decides. So fingers crossed, I'm going to go ahead and say it right now, we'll be fine.
I think the course is going to be a little softer, A, because it is fall, so we already accept a little bit of that, but even because of the rain that we are going to have in the earlier half of the week. So there's going to be definitely a premium on guys who have 10 or 15 extra yards and maybe hit the ball a little higher and can land it a little softer. It's going to make it a little bit more accessible for them getting to these greens at Augusta National.
Yes, indeed. Let's start talking about the players that are going to be out there. First, let's talk about the two that won't be on the course because of COVID. The first, of course, is Neiman, who would have been making his first Masters appearance.
Yeah, that sucks. I would have liked to have him on my card. I probably would have bet him, to be honest.
Yeah, would you have put money on Sergio Garcia? Because he is out with COVID as well.
A past Masters champion, Mike, that also has won in the last month, too. You remember he won in Mississippi. So wouldn't be crazy to put money on him as well, too. But, Mike, this is what I'm wondering. You know me. I'm always connecting the dots. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I just like to connect the dots. That's my famous saying.
Yep.
Sergio, he played in Houston last week. He missed the cut, so he left on Friday. But he was there for 4 or 5 days. I don't know, you know, again, interactions with fans out there, you never know where he got it or where he may have. It sounds like the rest of his family is safe and hasn't tested positive at all, so that's encouraging. But unfortunately he came into contact with it at just really, really crappy timing, and he's got to miss the Masters as a result.
Yeah, you mentioned missing the cut. Phil Mickelson missed the cut. He, of course, holed out on his last hole, though, in typical Phil fashion. But what are his odds right now? Tell me that. What are the odds of Phil? Because I just feel like he could very well miss the cut here. He's either going to be all over the top of the leaderboard, or he's not going to make the cut.
But in classic Augusta odds maker fashion, there's an extra premium on past champions because this major is playing the same course every year. Phil's got a pretty respectable odds. They're all Phil, Tiger, all in the 60-1 range or so, interestingly enough. So, despite the fact that he's got kind of long odds, people do still think in the back of their mind that there's a chance that 50-year-old Phil could put himself into contention. I don't know. You know, we've been applauding how well he's done on the Champions Tour, but those are quite different ball games with much shorter venues. Like I said, it's going to be soft. It's going to be long. He does hit it long enough, but the bombs are going to have to be in play in order for him to be in contention.
I mean, tell me this. Who do you think is going to have a better chance of contending come Sunday, Phil Mickelson or Freddie Couples?
Oh, boy. Jeez, I know. I know you love a classic old man contending scenario, especially.
True, I do.
You're a sucker for that.
I just love Fred Couples, because why not?
I'm scrolling down trying to find Fred right now. I'm trying to find Phil as well, too, as I look through all the odds for this week's Masters as well. But let's see. Phil 65-1. I'm going pretty far down for Fred right now. Shout out to Nate Lashley at 300-1. Mike.
There you go.
Bernhard Langer, 250-1. Fred Couples, 250-1. There you go. So that's actually really that's a lawsuit that Nate Lashley has worse odds than Bernhard Langer to win the Masters. I'm definitely throwing a dollar on you, Nate. Shout out to Nate Lashley.
Why not? So Tiger, we mentioned Tiger too. What do you think his chances are this week? Of course, the defending champion. I don't feel like I've seen a lot out of him. I don't think he's really going to be there come Sunday.
Yeah, I know. I just got four rounds. What was that, a few weeks back there? Sherwood or CJ Cup, whatever. And haven't seen him since. Elected not to play in the Houston Open the week before, like he said he might. There's not a ton of form. You know, you'd like to think that he can find some of that Augusta magic, but really the short game has really been killing him in the last couple of tournaments, which we don't say often. Usually we're just so hyper-focused on how Tiger's hitting the ball. Is Tiger driving the ball straight enough? Is Tiger giving himself chances? I think he's been giving himself enough chances during the course of rounds, but just not executing on simple up and downs and making par putts when he needs to. These are going to be the keys for him. And I think those are going to show. I'm going to keep Tiger off my card this week. I hope that the defending champion can make some sort of noise, because that would just make things electric for what's been a crazy 2020 already. But I don't have him on my card.
All right, let's talk about the rest of the field. And there's a lot of guys in there who could win any given weekend. And of course, at Augusta, you never know.
Who do you want to touch on?
Let's start with DJ. All right, he's back from COVID. He's been playing really well. T2 last year, 4 consecutive top 10s at Augusta. You just feel like he's just itching to finally put that green jacket on.
The odds shot up for him in the last week, Mike, since we saw how well he played in Houston. Bryson was the odds-on favorite. DJ shot up into that 7-1, 8-1 territory alongside Bryson as well, too. So that's where everyone's thinking. Obviously, that first storyline is like, is Bryson just going to bomb and gouge the hell out of this course and win by 8 shots? And then the second storyline after that as well, outside of that happening, who do you like from the favorites? And you got to like DJ the way he's playing. Yeah. He hadn't had a ton of success at Augusta until that performance last year. So good to see that he's coming around at the right time. And again, he's got that kind of just blank stare on his face. It's very hard to read how he's feeling internally, but externally, the golf we're seeing is good enough to contend and win.
What do you think of Jordan Spieth? He had a good start and a poor end to his weekend at Houston. Should we just write him off right now? Is he over?
I hate to do this, Mike, but I have a picture on Instagram with Jordan Spieth. He's my guy. Hook him forward. I love rooting for him.
He looks just like you. You two could be twins.
Well, that's a huge compliment as well, too. I'll take that any day of the week. Unfortunately, I see a bet that has odds to make or miss the cut. Jordan Spieth is a 3-1 odds to miss the cut. That's a juicy bet, Mike. I may have to bet against Jordan Spieth on that. This is a form thing for him. He's been all over the map and he's been unable to put together an 18-hole round. He's had 5, 6, 7, 9-hole stretches where he looks fantastic. The putter's rolling well and he's a few under par. And then all of a sudden things explode and he's in that territory where he's having big numbers at the wrong time. And it derails him over and over again. And this is a course where you can do that quickly and it can derail you in a moment's notice. So I'm not high on Jordan Spieth, so much to the point where I may be betting on him to miss the cut.
Yeah. I'm going to give you one more name. It's a guy we always talk about as someone who everyone forgets, Webb Simpson.
Yes, that's right. How can we not? How can we not go a major without mentioning him, right? I mean, we love him contending at US Opens. He's 1-1 to his own right. Yeah, I think, you know, he's due to perform well at this golf course. I haven't seen a ton from him recently. He's been taking some time off to spend with the fam, but overall, always watching out for him. He's always got some decent odds. I can't find where he is on my sheet right now. I'll take a quick spin. There he is, 35-1. So he's always kind of in that middle ground territory where it's just juicy enough to lay a dollar or two on him. I know you've got him on your card. One podcast exclusive pick that I'm going to give you right now is a guy who has not played well recently. We've mentioned him in a couple interviews recently, and he does well on soft courses, which this potentially could be. How about Ricky Fowler going off at about 60-1? He's got no form, but again, that's a juicy number for a guy who is due for a big week. And wouldn't it be 2020 for Ricky Fowler to have absolutely no form and just come from nowhere and just barnstorm at Augusta National? That would be a very 2020 headline. So I'm adding him to my card.
Yeah.
The full card will be Course of Life 1 on Twitter.
I'm going to give you one more name as kind of pick here, especially if the course is soft. The course is super soft if it's rainy. Zach Johnson.
Past champion. Scenario when he won in 2007. Very ugly weather. It was cold. It was windy and wet. He laid up on every single par 5, Mike, you remember, and just wedged the hell out of the course and stared down Tiger Woods back in the day to win his green jacket. So, hey, we've seen crazier, right?
We have. We'll see everything that happens. It's going to be a great weekend at Augusta. Keep an eye on us on Twitter. That's where we talk the most. It's gonna be fun. I can't wait for this weekend. The only thing I'm missing is the par 3 contest.
Yes, I know. But quick shout out, which you wanted to mention before we hopped on to Masters.com. They're doing a phenomenal job with their digital coverage. Check the website out this week and the app as well. It's a great download this week. They have like a feature, Mike. I know you looked into it, where essentially you can like pick favorite players and they're just gonna like spit out a broadcast for you of all their shots. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's once again, the Masters proves that if you have an unlimited source of money, you can do whatever you want in digital.
Indeed. Money talks, especially in the broadcast world. So shout out Masters.com and the app. We'll be definitely doing a temporary ad delete on that this week. It is Masters Week. Very excited.
It is indeed. Let's flip over to Tuned In with what we've been tuning into outside of the world of sports. Alex, let's start with you because it was The Bachelorette once again for you, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. So I updated you and told you that I was anticipating The Bachelorette was going to go off of schedule, off of format, and just run off with a guy and just like leave the show. She did it. It's done. It's over. Claire is with Dale. They've already left. And as of this week, people have already watched this past week's episode. Now that this podcast is released, we've got our new Bachelorette. Tayshia is in there. So basically all these guys, they kind of struck out with the first Bachelorette, and there's 16 of them just sitting there in the house. And they're just like, well, I mean, I guess we'll hang around for the second one, see how it goes, right? They're all just going to take another at bat at things with the new Bachelorette. That's your update.
It's going to be interesting. Meanwhile, for me, I was just watching the election.
Oh, yeah, that happened as well. Yeah. Little burying of the lead there as well.
Let's talk about it. Let's get into pop politics real quick. Let's talk about this. It is Monday evening. The race has been called by the Associated Press and almost every other media outlet, including Fox News, let Joe Biden is the president-elect. But they're still counting votes. We're going to have
this recounts. This process is just an absolute abomination of everything we strive to achieve as Americans. We try to be industrious, Mike. We try to be innovative. We try to be at the forefront of technology and things that change the way we operate in the world. And our vote counting process is so archaic. It blows my mind.
I'm going to be the person in the room that tells you you're wrong. I want an archaic vote process. I want something that's really simple, that doesn't allow other avenues into it for any kind of outside interference. So having a paper ballot that you just mark and then gets counted is the most simplest way in order to not have outside interference come in, any kind of digital interference.
I'll take you up on the paper ballot, and I'm fine with
and
that.
And that includes mail-in ballots.
Can we start, you know, processing the ballots a little earlier? Can we shake them at it?
No, and I wouldn't, because obviously you don't want, if you count early, the problem there is that number could get out about where the votes are going, and that could sway how people vote. And that you don't really want to do.
We got to keep that a secret, Mike. We got to figure out how to keep that a secret in 2024.
I don't know. I thought it was really interesting, though. David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler here in Georgia actually both sent very, very angry. They sent a complaint saying that the Secretary of State here in Georgia, Brad Raffensperger, should resign because of how poor the election was run and all the different irregularities. And then the Secretary of State spent 30 minutes today saying how they were all wrong.
Oh, good, great. And for everyone out at home as well, too, I know that a lot of people now, after this election is in the rear view, we're turning our attention to January for Georgia. Give me 30 seconds of why we're tuned into Georgia now. What's going on there?
So we got two things that are happening here. The big thing you need to know is that no statewide race can be called in Georgia without actually having a majority. So 50 plus one. So we had the David Perdue, John Ossoff race for them, which was a main race going on. And that one, Perdue did not get 50% of the vote. So that's headed to a runoff. And then we had the special election, which is the one that Kelly Loeffler is in right now. So that was with Kelly Loeffler and Raphael Warnock is going to be that runoff. That one we knew was going to go to a runoff no matter what, because it was an open field. So we're going to have two races in Georgia to decide the Senate, who owns control of it. It's going to be huge. A lot of money coming into the state. Just when I thought I was outside and not getting any more texts and phone calls, I'm going to get more texts and phone calls. So,
okay. So we're running it back. We're going to have a little bit more election drama in January. I like that.
We are
into that for sure. Good stuff. That is Tuned In Pop Politics this week. Very excited for that and what's around the corner. And Mike, it's time to get into this week's guest, who has some Masters experience as well. Speaking of Masters Week.
That's right. You had the chance to talk with Elizabeth Diane Martin, who went to last year's Masters tournament. See Tiger's win, of course. And she is a military golf ambassador that works with a lot of different veterans. She's got a radio show out in Colorado as well. Really, really cool interview you did here.
Indeed. Yeah, it was good talking with her.
Before we get into that, though, as always, want to let you know about our friends at Groove It Golf, makers of the Groove It Golf Brush. It's been sold out for a while, but we are expecting a big announcement. They posted something on their socials, said something is coming soon. I think it's going to be back in stock, Alex. I think it's coming back.
Just in time, guys. Just in time for the holidays.
Just in time for the holidays. It's November. It's time to get this because this is great. This is the golf brush for the post-COVID world. It's got a built-in pump so you can put water cleaning solution right into it and spray it right on the club face so you can get a quick and efficient scrub on the course. It's got magnets on it, really easy to detach, but it'll stay on nice and strong so you can pop it right off your bag so you don't need to worry about getting too close to the bag or getting water on the bag when you're spraying on it or anything like that. Or you can take it with you over to the other side of the fairway when you're on cart path only rules. Plus, the brush comes with a 3-year bristle guarantee. If you can wear out the brush head cleaning golf clubs in 3 years, set it back and Groove It will get you a free replacement. It's incredible reliability. So prepare to be amazed with the consistency and control the clean grooves will give you using your existing golf clubs with the Groove It. You'll get the spin, trajectory, and consistency you're looking for. Head on over to grooveitbrush.com. You can get on their mailing list. So as soon as it's back in stock, you'll know and you'll be able to go get it. Make sure you follow them on social as well. They're Groove It Brush, I think, on Instagram and Twitter.
You got it.
You'll be able to know. I'm sure they'll tell you there too. So again, that's grooveitbrush.com.
Next up on the tee, we have a golfer who's been to some amazing venues in the game, and she also does some great work for our military veterans in getting them into the game of golf as well. We have Elizabeth Diane Martin joining us on The Course of Life. Elizabeth, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Obviously, kind of this whole year has been definitely a whirlwind for everyone out there, but I think we can all agree that golf has been just an amazing respite and definitely shined a light on how great the game is. Lots more people are playing, lots more people are watching. I'm curious just how this year has been for you and maybe how much the game has meant to you, especially in a year like this.
Yeah, so this year is definitely different than years past. My travel has gone from almost twice a month to I've been on 3 trips since March, yep, which is very rare and not something that, you know, I would say I'm used to. But yeah, definitely there's been a lot more folks on the golf course, a lot more folks picking up the game, which has been awesome to see. Tee times and tee sheets are booked way in advance, yeah, especially on the weekends. So it's really been a great escape for everything that's happening in the world. And I know for me out in Colorado, when we were shut down for about 3 weeks with no golf, I would say that was very challenging on me. Golf is my getaway. It's my zen. And I definitely missed it for 3 weeks. So it's something not to be taken for granted. And it definitely helps you, you know, decompress and can really help you just blow off steam, especially, like I said, with everything going on this year in the world.
Definitely. You said it very well. I have like a membership where I'm able to play once a month at a few different courses. And you're right about the tee sheets. I'm able to book 7 days in advance and I need to now because there's a lot more people out there playing. So I definitely feel that. And what you mentioned is at the top, what you do with the veterans is very important to the game. And what I love about the game of golf, when you know the PGA Tour and the game of golf, they do a great job of saluting service and bringing veterans in the game as well. But talk a little bit about what you're doing. I know you have the American Veteran Show and how that kind of makes the connection of getting veterans into the game of golf.
Yeah. So with the American Veteran Show, I'm a correspondent for that. It airs on 7:10 a.m. KNUS in Colorado. It's on Sundays. We dedicate an entire hour to veterans, active duty members of our military, their families, and the companies that support them. And through that opportunity, I've had some awesome interviews, not only with organizations that are helping our vets as well as active duty service members, but also just providing them with some mental outlets. And the game of golf is certainly one of those. And I've had an opportunity to interview folks from, you know, the Veteran Golfers Association to other organizations like Folds of Honor that do a Patriot Golf Day. And it has just been very cool to hear veterans and active duty members' stories about how the game of golf has saved their life and how it's made such an impact to them mentally. Because as we all know, it is very challenging and it is not a game that, you know, you can master right away. You have to chip away at it and you literally have to continue to practice day in, day out to get better. And it can be that release. You're outdoors. You can have a drink with your friends. You can, you know, be by yourself if you want to be by yourself. You don't have to be talkative if you don't want to be talkative. Yes. Or you can be. It can be a very, you know, social thing. So it's a way for vets and active duty members to get out, to just learn the sport and think about something different and take their mind off of something that, you know, may be happening in their world, as well as just decompress and, you know, focus on getting that ball in the hole, however you get there and however long it takes to get there, but really understanding that that's their main focus. And it's a way for them not to worry about, you know, what else is going on in their world.
I love that. Yeah. And golf is one of the few things in life, I feel like, where you can have just as much fun with a whole bunch of your friends as you do just playing alone and enjoying the course by yourself. So it's a nice solo effort as well as being with a group. Tell me about the VGA. That's the Veterans Golf Association. For those who don't know, talk a little bit about the work you do with them. I saw you go to Greenbrier previously, which is a really cool venue as well. So tell me a little bit about the Veterans Golf Association and what that organization entails.
Of course. So they are across the nation and their main mission is to build camaraderie through golf in a competitive landscape for veterans, active duty members, and then their family. So I had the opportunity of competing in their family division and their national championship was at the Greenbrier. So I went out there and volunteered to help run some of their media out there, which was an awesome opportunity. I was able to golf the Greenbrier, which is an amazing opportunity. And it was in October, last October. So the leaves were changing. It was amazing fall golf round that I will never forget.
Not much better than fall golf, especially in a place like that.
Yeah, definitely. And so it's just a way for veterans to build that camaraderie, but to have it still be a competitive landscape where there's flights, there are qualifiers, and there's just awesome opportunities where you can be invited if you qualify to golf courses like the Greenbrier and to show up and meet individuals from, you know, different states as well as throughout the entire nation that are either volunteering their time or have qualified to get there. So it's a really, really awesome group for those who are active duty members or veterans. I definitely suggest you check it out. It's VGA.org. VGAgolf.org, excuse me. And it's just an amazing organization. There's others too, like, you know, Folds of Honor Patriot Golf Day as well, that get people out, more of a fundraiser. But of course, there are those involved as well from a camaraderie standpoint.
I love that. Shout out to our sponsor, Desert Fox Golf as well, who works really closely with Folds of Honor brand. That's some great stuff that you're doing with them. And then in terms of the golf brand that you quite literally play, you're a PXG athlete, and I know that they have the PXG for Heroes campaign that they do as well. So it seems like you're really intertwined with that community. Talk about your PXG relationship as well. It's a really, really cool golf brand, and I know they do some great stuff with the military as well, right?
They definitely do. So they have their PXG for Heroes program. I am an ambassador for them. And what it provides is it provides a discount. And it's actually a very great discount to active duty members, veterans, first responders. And it allows you to be able to get their equipment at a discount, as I mentioned. And they give a lot back, you know, from events to different discounts on their apparel, on their clubs. as well as they do awesome events for our veterans out at Scottsdale National, where they bring vets out, Bob Parson, as well as Renee. They have really an event that they put on where they bring certain vets in. They are able to golf Scottsdale National. They're providing them with just an awesome weekend that is one to remember for sure. And that includes, you know, fitting opportunities as well. So it's an amazing company that is giving back to our veterans, active duties members, as well as first responders in a way that I have not seen any other golf company give back in that way. So they're definitely supportive. Dr. Bob Parson was a Marine himself, so it is near and dear to his heart. And that's why, you know, the Bob Parsons Foundation is really giving back to veterans in a way, like I said, that no other golf company really is today.
That's awesome. Great to hear all around. It's Elizabeth underscore Diane 22 on Instagram. And like you mentioned, the American Veteran Show as well. Let's talk about all the great places that you've gotten to go with your involvement in the game in every capacity. And obviously, this conversation has to start with Augusta National. You had the chance to go in 2019 to the Augusta National Women's Amateur and got to be there for the Masters as well, the week that Tiger hoisted the trophy and won the green jacket again. That was an amazing week. Is Augusta National and that whole venue as magical as it appears on TV?
It definitely is. I would say that that was the highlight of 2019, as well as just really the highlight of my golf experiences. You walk in and honestly, it's breathtaking. The pictures on TV really don't even do it justice, and those look magical.
Yes.
I would equate it to you a golf Disney World, where you walk in and it's an experience from the merchandise shop that has different rooms of everything that you can think that you can put a Master logo on. They have it. To walking down where you cross over the first tee box, it's a surreal feeling because you know that greatness has walked there before, as well as it was just amazing seeing Tiger, you know, tee off as he started his week to win the Masters and have what I would say is one of the greatest sports. I don't want to call it a comeback, but I'm going to comeback in the history of golf. It still gives me goosebumps talking about it. And Amen Corner is really a place where if I could go in a blink of an eye, I would. It is just so amazing. And I would say an experience that every golfer needs to have. I know that not every golfer can have it just based on the lotto ticket series and really just the desire to go, but it is absolutely amazing. And I really feel like that is the highlight of, like I said, not only last year, but really of my golf experiences thus far.
I'm going to win that lottery one day. I've been trying for years and I will get there eventually one way or another. It sounds magical. And as our audience is hearing this, we are leading right up to that November Masters week. Very exciting stuff. Looking forward to seeing the fall foliage there too. Let's talk about California and some venues that you've been to. I'm going to give you a little on the spot question here. I know you've been to Pebble, you've been to Riviera, you've been to Torrey Pines. Out of all the California PGA Tour venues, which one's your favorite to go to?
Oh, that's a hard question. So I'm going to answer that two different ways. I would say Pebble is very hard to beat. It is just an amazing place where, like Augusta, there's a lot of history there and the views are absolutely awesome of the ocean. So that's my favorite ocean view course. Riviera is definitely up there for me. And that's because I had a personal experience there. That was my first PGA Tour event ever actually attending. And I fell in love with the course. I walked in and I was like, where am I? And this place is amazing. And just knowing the history there of, you know, how tough that course is, and then getting to play it that next December after the Genesis Open in February, I saw it and experienced it firsthand. And I now understand why Tiger doesn't make cuts there. It's a very hard course and those greens are extremely challenging.
I got to ask a golf nerd question. How'd you do on the 10th hole at Riviera?
Yeah, it was actually a pretty good hole. I think I got a bogey on that hole, if I remember my score correctly.
Pretty good.
My tee shot, I would say, was probably not one of the most intimidating tee shots I've had, but I would say I was very nervous for it because you definitely don't want to get in one of those bunkers because it is extremely hard to get out of them.
Yep, I've watched some pros have some absolute carnage moments there and make sevens, eights, and nines. So bogey, pretty damn good for the 10th of Riviera. I appreciate that. And I got to circle back to Pebble Beach because I saw that you met a TV idol of mine. I think you and I are both part of Bachelor Nation. You got to meet Chris Harrison. They're in the midst of a new season right now. What was it like meeting him? It seemed like he's a really nice guy.
He's a great guy. He was awesome to talk to. He's actually a very good golfer as well. Yeah. He was paired up with one of my friends, Wyndham Clark, also from Colorado. So it was really cool to see him play and to see Chris Harrison, really at Pebble. He was super personable. I actually got to talk to him and ask a couple questions about, you know, how filming was going, what he thought about the next season. And I did get to steal a selfie with him, which was pretty awesome. And yeah, he's just a very down to earth guy. And what you see on TV is what you get in person.
Nice. I love that. Elizabeth Diane, again, joining us on the Course of Life here. One other place you got to go, which is one of the only trips that I made in 2020. Fortunately, before everything went crazy, I did get to go to Scottsdale and be at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. I've been there twice now. Did you make it to 16? And how was your weekend experience there? Because I had quite a whirlwind weekend in Scottsdale.
Yeah, it's definitely a crazy weekend. It's an awesome experience to be a part of. I did not make it to 16. I was actually on 18. However,
it's not easy to make it 16 for those who haven't been there. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I did walk the course and I got to see and not only hear the excitement on 16, but, it is on my bucket list to get in there at one point to, experience that. But it's a really cool, what I would call a very unique golf event. I have been to many PGA Tour events in the past, and I would say that one is very unique because there's times where you feel like you're not at a PGA Tour event and it's more of a party with all of your friends. And so it's definitely a weekend where I would suggest if you've not been there to go down there and experience it. Normally it falls on Super Bowl weekend, which is just an added bonus of, having everybody down there as well as having Super Bowl parties and waste management parties.
Yeah, it's a really fun time. I remember being in a party in between 17 and 10 and the music was blasting and you do forget you're at a golf tournament for a brief moment there. It's a lot of fun for sure, golf fan or not. Let's get to some fun kind of off the board questions I wanted to ask because I noticed that you've had some wildlife encounters on your Instagram. You were in Tampa Bay and saw some gators. I don't know what you've seen in Arizona, but are there any notable wildlife or strange animal experiences you've had on the golf course? We love finding random things like that when we golf.
Yeah, definitely. So saw a couple gators at TPC Tampa Bay. There was one that decided to venture a little bit out of the water area, the pond area that was there. We also I've gotten to see a couple bears in Colorado at Bear Dance Golf Club. And it's just been really cool when you're golfing and all of a sudden in the fairway or on the side, you're like, oh, there's a bear or there's a deer or there's a gator. It's been really cool. I also am a huge, bird fan. I know that sounds kind of nerdy.
No, but I'm into that. I love that.
I absolutely love birds. I do duck hunt, pheasant hunt. And I just love seeing them out there. I would say probably the coolest bird that I've seen out on the course is a great blue heron. We've got a couple of those here in Colorado. At TPC Colorado, I saw one and it was just awesome. It was huge. It's definitely something that I enjoy is seeing not only the wildlife from a standpoint of large to small animals, but I'm a huge bird fan in regards to wildlife.
Nice. And you can see some of that. I know you've done some video blogs of the courses that you've visited. For someone who's looking to watch one of those, what's your favorite video blog that you've done from a golf course you've been to recently, and where can they watch that?
Yeah, so they can find that on my YouTube channel. The link is on my Instagram. And I would say the best experience thus far is really TPC Las Vegas. And there's a couple of reasons why. Great course. First, the experience was amazing from the course, the views, the staff there. It was very interesting because that was my first trip post-COVID. And it was different, I would say, than what I'm used to from a travel experience standpoint. Of course, wearing a mask, interviewing others, as well as they really took precautions, like no rakes, the flags stay in the holes, right. Things like that, just to make sure that everybody is safe out there and enjoying it. And that, I would say, was one of the funnest videos that I had making thus far, just because I was so excited to get back on the road and so excited to be able to share that experience.
Yeah, it's a cool course. I played it during my friend's bachelor party when we were there in Vegas, along with Ballyhai. And I love that combo there of those venues in Vegas. One thing I did also notice on your Instagram, there's a lot of hockey as well, too. So shout out to the Avs. I see that you're a big Colorado Avalanche fan. Now, I feel like there's always some sort of connection between golf and hockey. It tends to attract very similar crowds. But which came first for you as a fan, golf or hockey?
Yeah, so it was hockey first. I've been a hockey fan since I was about 10. I have hockey in my family. My uncle, my cousins play hockey. And so that was first. And then golf was actually second. The reason I got into golf is because my aunt, the same one of the hockey family, told me that I needed to start golfing in order to grow my career. And it has been the best career advice, as well as I've been able to build a network in the golf world that I know I would not have if I did not pick up the sport, which has been absolutely amazing because not only have I had the opportunity to travel and experience great golf experiences and great travel experiences, but I've been able to meet some amazing individuals through the game of golf.
Yeah, it's so true. I have friends that, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago would never have thought to pick up the clubs. And now here they are for business purposes, playing all the time, and they're addicted and they're wondering why they were never there with me back in high school and middle school. But they come around eventually. It really is a lifelong game. Again, Elizabeth Diane joining us. A couple more questions. I got to circle back on the Masters before we get to our 19th hole question. You mentioned that the merchandise tent was very intense. I'm curious, what were some of the more random Masters logo merchandise items that you could pick up there at Augusta National?
Yeah, so they actually brought back the Augusta gnome, the lawn gnome, which was, to be honest with you, that went super fast. It was kind of crazy. Everybody was grabbing them like hotcakes. And I would say that it was the most overwhelming shopping experience I've ever had in my life, because you walk in and you're like, okay, what do I want? I want everything. As well as you have individuals that are going in for specific items like that Master Gnome, and they know, you know, kind of the general location of where it's going to be. But I would say it's like Black Friday on steroids. And then it's very hard to whittle down the choices of what you want. I know that I had a lot of boxes shipped home with a lot of things. Yes. And, you know, I still cherish them today, because you're not really sure when you're going to have another opportunity to get back there. And you never want to miss someone, because, you know, the second you have something with a Masters logo on it, it's not only great gifts, but you get asked about it a lot of when did you go, and you know, what did you get? And, oh, well, I didn't see that item. I should have picked up that item. So it was an awesome experience. But as I mentioned, it was very, very overwhelming. So the gnome, to go back to your question, would be, I would say, the oddest thing that I saw, that I wasn't sure why others were buying it. And then, of course, I learned about it after, which now I'm like, I should have bought one. Yeah. But one of the coolest things that I actually purchased, and I gave this away as a gift to my father, but is cufflinks with the Masters logo on it. And those are just really cool. It's a really nice touch. And to be honest with you, my house kind of looks like the Masters threw up on it a little bit. I've got in my office flags to posters to, you know, my chair that I bought there. And so I would say every single day, it just reminds me of that amazing experience. And I'm looking to continue to grow my collection.
Yeah, you had quite the haul, and I'm glad you did that too. You just never know when you're going to go back. And plus, you've got the ultimate story, because you were there the year the Tiger won in 2019. So you just got that to tell for the rest of your life. It's so awesome.
I do.
All right, let's get to our 19th hole question. We ask this at the end of a lot of our interviews. You just got done playing 18 holes. Think of maybe one of the nicest clubhouses that you've been into, whether it's TPC Las Vegas or Riviera or somewhere like that. What is your go-to choice for like a meal and a drink to finish off your day in the 19th hole?
Yeah, so I'm going to start with a drink. I am a whiskey girl, so I usually drink out on the course, whether it's 7 and 7 or a Jack and ginger ale. So that's my go-to from a drink standpoint.
Okay.
Food standpoint, it kind of depends on how I played and what I've eaten before. Normally, after coming off 18 holes, I'm pretty hungry. So I will go anywhere from, you know, a steak to a salad to a lot of variety of things dependent on, you know, how hungry I am and what the menu looks like. But I'm a huge steak person as well. So if it's on the menu, I'm more likely going to be ordering that. And if it's not on the menu, my second option that I really love to test out on golf courses is wings. I absolutely love wings. And that's kind of my go-to if they don't have a steak on the menu.
Nice. Steak, wings, and whiskey. There's a lot of people nodding their heads along with you right now. Good choices all around. Again, it's Elizabeth Diane Martin. Thanks so much for hopping on with us. Looking forward to more content and everything you're doing with the veterans on social media and with the American Veteran Show. And hit them straight out there.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me, and you too.
That interview with Elizabeth Diane Martin is thanks to our friends at Desert Fox Golf, the makers of the Phone Caddy. It's a one-of-a-kind phone holder for golfers designed to mount right onto the golf cart. The Phone Caddy works with really any phone model. It velcros onto the cart in seconds. Slide your phone in, and you can keep all your yardage and scoring apps open and at your fingertips. Change music, answer calls and texts, and more, all with the Phone Caddy. It's the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the course at all times. And it's the perfect gift for the holidays. We've been saying it forever now, Alex. It is the best thing to get for all your friends so you can let them know I'm ready for 2021 when we can all go out and play golf
Indeed.
Together wherever we want.
It's the ultimate golf accessory. Everyone's got a phone and everyone goes golfing. So you need both.
Exactly. Exactly. And you can save 20% off your purchase with the promo code Course of Life. And that promo code now saves you 20% off of the Patriotic line. So typically excluded from any deal, you can now get your Phone Caddy 20% off from the Patriotic line. Support your veteran, police friend, firefighter friend, everybody with the Phone Caddy. It's fantastic. Again, use code Course of Life at their website, desertfoxgolf.com. Get 20% off. Again, that's desertfoxgolf.com. Promo code Course of Life for 20% off. Head on over to desertfoxgolf.com today. Get your Phone Caddy. Great interview there with Elizabeth. Really awesome, everything she's doing. And she did the smart thing, I think, what any of us would do if we went to Augusta and just get everything.
Well, you don't know if you're ever going to get back there. That this is
exactly
one of the bucket list things in the world of golf and sports and life where it could be the only time. So she sees the moment. Shout out to her for doing that. And yeah, how about the gnome being a wildly popular item in the merchant? I never would have known because I've never been there. So you learn new things every day. Shout out to the merch tent. And then it got me talking about this really cool thing they're doing on the Masters website, the Taste of the Masters, Mike. This is a very impressive layout I saw. If you want like a food taste of the Masters, don't think you can get in time for the tournament now. There is expedited shipping, but they'll send you a pound of pimento cheese, egg salad for the sandwiches, bags of potato chips with the logo on them, some embroidered cups, some serving paper. It's quite an elegant little feast that they put together. So I like that the Masters is really branching out with the merch and the online store and the ideas that they're throwing out, even if they can't have everyone there at the tournament this year.
Yeah, you know, if I was willing to drop $150 on something that included a pound of egg salad, which is not something that really interests me, I'd do it.
Not a huge egg salad guy either, but from what I hear, the people that go to Augusta swear by that pimento cheese sandwich. They say it is amazing. Even people who are not fans of pimento cheese say it is awesome.
Pimento cheese is great. I mean, now that I'm in the South, I like pimento cheese.
Love it.
Great stuff.
We'll get to hashtag always end with food for a moment, but let's talk a little bit of football first. I had a very tricky Saturday, Mike. It was an emotional roller coaster, and my picks went 4-6. Not a great showing by any means.
You know, it was almost as bad as seeing the COVID just spread out all over the field at Notre Dame.
Yo, that was absolutely insane. It's funny because I was on a Zoom call with a bunch of friends for a buddy who was leaving, and we were all getting together. And I had another friend of mine, shout out to Colin, who had a massive parlay that was riding on Notre Dame beating Clemson. So he was really pumped when he won the parlay and Notre Dame beat Clemson, knocked them off. And then immediately I saw people storming the field, and I basically turned my like Gus Johnson on, and I basically said, and there it is. The coronavirus is over. South Bend, Indiana figured out how to get rid of the coronavirus. It's over, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah, a little crazy scene there. But shout out to Notre Dame for getting the huge win over the Clemson Tigers.
Yeah, it was a crazy weekend with that. And then, of course, the Florida-Georgia game. Always a fun time anyway.
Yeah, Gators looking really good. So it's setting up for Florida-Alabama, maybe, for who wins the SEC. But a lot of things in doubt with this season. It's up and down, topsy-turvy. You don't know who's playing on which week, depending on how their team's doing health-wise. So, again, you appreciate this, too. This is actually kind of turned into, like, not only, you know, again, Clemson loses Trevor Lawrence and then immediately loses a big game against Notre Dame because of COVID. This is now not only turning into who's the best college football team, but who's the smartest and the safest team as well, too, because you got to keep every player on the roster safe so they can play throughout the season. So we're seeing that unfold live.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy times. It's 2020, y'all. It's 2020. Indeed. You know what else 2020 has generated for us, Alex? A Patriots team that has the same number of wins as a Giants football team.
Well, yeah, it's 2020, shrug of shoulder. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just.
And when I say same number of wins, what I should say is as few wins as the Giants.
Yes, and I'll give you that at this moment. We record before the yawner of a Patriots-Jets Monday Night Football game that I'm forcing myself to watch. That's a whole other story here or there, but the bottom line is, yes, the Giants have two wins. They're all against the football team from Washington. Shout out to the Giants for getting it done and getting their second win of the season. I'll pour a little bit of salt on Tom Brady since the Bucs were looking really good and they got their teeth kicked in by Drew Brees and the Saints. I think there's a little sports karma working there. For Brady bringing back Antonio Brown, it's kind of like kind of like the sports god saying like, "No, you can't do that. That's just not fair. You can't do that. I'm not going to let you enjoy this toy." You know?
No, I'm not a fan of that move at all. I'm really not.
That's it's fighting just, Brady you know. Right now. This week, at least, we'll see how that plays out the rest of the season. But that's kind of the roundabout NFL update from our end.
Let's hashtag always own the food.
Yes, let's do it. Brought to you by Restelli's Meats. Promo code GOLF10 for 10% off all your purchases at restellis.com. Individually packaged, high quality meat shipped direct to you. Speaking of meats, shout out to Restelli's. You can get going on a Thanksgiving turkey from Restelli's as well right now. I took a look at the website and they have some awesome varieties. It's part two of our Thanksgiving conversation, part two of four, Mike. We're talking turkey. I'm going to quickly open up the floor to you. Let me just get your general thoughts on Thanksgiving turkey, what you like, what you don't like, and what you typically like to throw in there.
You know, I mix it up almost every year with something different, but I do like a pretty traditional tasting turkey. I don't like to go too crazy with what it is, what the flavor is going on. So that's kind of my, I want something, I don't want to call it plain, but just traditional. I want the sides to really kind of be able to shine. And let the turkey just be there as the mainstay.
So you're just like butter and some basic seasoning? Is that what you're talking?
I mean, I might do a little bit of a dry brine or something on it. But then, yeah, I mean, we're talking your traditional turkey seasonings in there. Thyme, rosemary, garlic, maybe a little lemon in there. Your typical poultry flavors that you would expect.
Exactly. The thing with seasoning on the Thanksgiving bird is it is really hard to have too much seasoning. Like it's very fine just leaving it very light in the seasoning and not putting much on at all. It's extremely hard to go overboard. You can do all the above. I go salt, pepper. You can go thyme, rosemary. You go nuts. You can go in any direction you want. It's very hard to over season a bird. And the tip that we have to shout out, Mike, is from our guest a couple weeks ago, Brandy Malloy. She said, the move with citrus. I typically been doing lemon and scoring some on there. I'm going to go with orange this year, though. Mm. Per her advice, I'm going to squeeze a little orange on there for a marinade, maybe throw one in the middle. That middle cavity, Mike, I treat that like an endless black hole. You can just throw any fruit and vegetable you want in there.
So much.
And all it does is add flavor.
That's true. That's the way you bring flavor to it. And don't put your stuffing in the middle of the bird. Don't bake it in there. Don't do that.
You know what? I don't have to do that either. We're in solid agreement in there. We have a lot of cooking clashes typically, but we're in solid agreement there. There's no need for that. The stuffing can just goes nice and separate on a separate pot or pan, and everyone will be just fine. You know, we'll be just fine. So those are the turkey tips that we had this Thanksgiving. If you've got any on your end, I'm all ears. I know you are. I'm open to hearing them. You're at MWRINC on Twitter. I'm at Course of Life One. So talk turkey with us the next couple of weeks, and we'll get the part three of our Thanksgiving conversation next week.
In the meantime, we're to be watching the Masters this weekend.
It is. It's Masters week. Everyone take deep breath in and deep breath out. Augusta National, Heyman Corner, the wonderful tones of Jim Nantz. It's going to be great vibes this week. We hope you all enjoy your Masters week. And we'll be back next week on The Course of Life. Everyone enjoy their weeks. Wow.